I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in 1 Kings chapter 18. 18th chapter of 1 Kings, and we commence reading at the verse number 17. Let's follow the reading of God's Word together, please. 1 Kings and the 18th chapter, and commencing to read at verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only am left, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore choose, or give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. All the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner, and with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. Came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. He filled the trench also with water. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless your word now to our hearts and help us to preach it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I'm sure you can understand that this day was a day to be remembered. You can imagine what it was whenever the multitude of Israel assembled together at the instruction of the man of God. Here's the man of God, he meets the king. The king despises, the king hates him. He said, "Art thou he, the trouble of Israel?" He said, "No, I'm not. It's you. It's your family. You have sinned against the Lord grievously. You have turned the hearts of the people. You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam, Jezebel's god." And so we find here that the servant of God, as he stands alone, he says to the king, let's bring this to a head. You've been looking for me. You want to see me. Well, now you're going to see me. And yet, friends, it's not me that you're wanting to see and you need to see. It's God. I want you to bring all the people. I want you to bring all the prophets of Baal. I want you to bring the prophets of the grove that sit at Jezebel's table. And I want you to bring them to Mount Carmel. Imagine God's servant dictating to the king. And it's amazing, it says in verse number 20, Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together onto Mount Carmel. He does what God's servant wants him to do. And can you imagine the scene, my friend? Some believe it was up to about 20,000 people that gathered there that day, and they gathered round Mount Carmel. And as they gathered to Mount Carmel, there were the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And God's servant stands a lonely figure. You see, the people of Israel up to that time were in confusion. On the one hand, they had not fully rejected the God of their fathers. But on the other hand, they were following after Baal, the god of Jezebel. As I stand and look at that crowd that day, I see three types of people. First of all, I see the faithful servant of God, Elijah. He stands there as a lonely prophet of God. And then I see the false seducers, because they are the prophets of Baal. They are sold out to the devil. They are those that, my friend, that seek to seduce the people and turn their hearts away from the things of God. And then I see the faltering seekers. They are the ones that are torn between two. Either do this way and follow God, or go the other way and follow Balaam. And you see, there were people here, they had interests at court. There was the popular path of the crowd that they were willing to follow. And yet there was the call of Jehovah, their father's God, that they knew they needed to serve. As I see this story now unfolding, I want you to notice that Elijah didn't address his message, first of all, to the priests of Baal. He didn't address himself, my friend, to those that were sold out to the devil. He would preach to them very shortly. He would preach to them a sermon of judgment in blood before that day would end, because they would all die. He didn't preach to the faithful, because there were none others there. Yes, there were those. There were the 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And yet, my friend, there were none of them to be found. Elijah was standing a lonely figure. Yes, there are those that are, "My, with you in good times, when you come into the hard times," they're nowhere to be found. And there Elijah was. He doesn't preach to the faithful servants. They're not there. He's there alone. He doesn't preach to the false seducers. There's a message that God has for them in a few moments' time. It's going to be judgment. But he does preach to the faltering seekers. The people that are torn in two directions. And as he preaches to those people that day, I want you to notice, my friend, he's preaching to a people who are the procrastinators, the undecided, the double-minded. And this is what he says in verse number 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?
If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And it's really in those thoughts that I want to deal with this evening. It says this, how long halt ye between two opinions? First thing I want you to notice, there's a distinction revealed. Friend, there's a distinction. Two opinions. You see, Elijah wasn't there to impress them how great a preacher he was. He didn't care what they thought about him. He was desirous that they would seek the Lord, that they would reverence God. And he cried out to this people. He said, listen, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And what Elijah was revealing here was this. These were a people that had got two opinions. In other words, he was unveiling before them the secret of their hearts. They were a people that were double-minded in their heart. On the one hand, they knew that Jehovah was the God of Israel. They knew what God had done, how that God had opened the Red Sea, and how that God had brought them through the Red Sea and worked miracles. They knew how that God had delivered them when they went into the Promised Land, and the enemies were there in every hand. They knew that God, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, was the God of Israel. And yet, my friend, they were not seeking him. You see, on the one hand, they wanted to hold on to him. They didn't want to divorce themselves from the God of Israel. They knew that he was a living God. But there was a God of Jezebel. You see, Jezebel's God, my friend, was Balaam. And she had introduced the worship of Baal. And the sad thing was in Israel, you'll notice if you go to verse number 30, it says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which is broken down. And the altars of God were broken down, friend. They had turned away from worshiping God and following the God of Israel. And they were following after Balaam. Yes, Balaam's altars, they were raised, and the altar of God was broken down. But you know, they didn't really want to forsake God completely. No, they wanted to keep one foot in that camp, but they wanted to put the other foot in the other. And what he was showing here was they were a people of two opinions. They were a double-minded people, friend. They knew what was right, but they weren't willing to do it. And you know, my friend, there were those just in that day that wanted to worship on the one hand the true God of Israel, but they wanted to bring them together with the false gods of religion. Now the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And there are people today, my friend, even religious circles, and what they try to do is they try to take the Christ of God and they try to link him into the modern religions of this day. And they're preaching another gospel, and they're presenting, in reality, another Christ. But they do it very craftily. They try to use the Bible, and they try to use the gospel for their own ends. They've got two opinions. Maybe there's people here tonight. And friend, to be honest, you're a person with two opinions. On the one hand, you know what's right. On the other hand, you do what's wrong. On the one hand, there are those that are following the Lord. And friends, you know you need to follow the Lord. But on the other hand, you want to go with Satan because you love the pleasures of the world and you love the popularity that comes with it. You're not willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. You've got two opinions, that which is right and that which is wrong. And here you are in the service night and you're a double-minded person. And is it not true there are those that come to God's house on Sunday and then they go to the devil's quarters on Monday. And they try on the one hand to hunt with the hounds and at the same time run with the hares. You see, they take pleasure in the God of heaven, but they worship the God of this world. They're not willing to go through with God. Friend, let me tell you this. You cannot yoke together the God of glory and the God of this world. You cannot bring together the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lion of the pit of hell. They can never walk together. I want you to notice what the Word of God says. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 tonight. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, if you come with me, please, to verse number 24, this is what the Holy Ghost says. And you better hear what He says, and you better heed it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says this, "No man can serve two masters." Friend, you're a person of two opinions. Listen, you cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. Listen to these words. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't hunt with the hounds, friend, and run with the hare at the same time. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. And yet here you are tonight, and perhaps you're wearing the mask. Listen, cast the mask aside, friend. Don't be the hypocrite. If the world be your master, then you serve it. But don't try to pretend that you're serving Christ at the same time. No man can serve two masters. Turn to the 12th chapter of the same book. And this is how blunt it is, friend. Listen, this is how blunt Jesus puts it in His precious Word. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 30. He that is not with me is against me. Listen, you're either for Christ or you're against Him. You're either on the side of Jesus Christ, my friend, or you're on the side of the devil. You're either in Christ or without Christ. It's one or the other, friend. But you cannot serve two masters. You're either with me, says Jesus, or you're against me. Two opinions. Two opinions. The distinction, friend, the distinction revealed. Two opinions. Listen, here's the Lord Jesus Christ in the one hand, and there's the world in the other. There's the devil in the other, friend. Let me tell you, you're either on one side or the other. Now, here's my question. On whose side are you? Who is your master tonight? Who is your master? Who are you bowing before tonight? Isn't it a tragedy that some person sitting in God's house tonight, and here you are listening to the Word of God, friend, and yet you're bowing down before your master, the devil. You're worshiping him. You're worshiping all that he is to present to you. You're not worshiping the Lord. And Jesus said, listen, if you're not with me, then you are against me. My friend, are you with him or against him? Pilate stood before the crowd one day and he said these words. He said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they cried out, crucify him. And he did, friend. He listened to the crowd. He listened to the opinion of the crowd. Maybe you're of the opinion tonight that if you just try the best you can, somehow you'll make it through. I want to tell you, friend, that's a lie of the devil. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other way to heaven but Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, there's no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I don't care who you are or what your background is. I don't care whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a Protestant or Roman Catholic. I don't care, friend, whether you're a down and out or an up and out. As far as God is concerned, you're either with him or against him. And down in this congregation, I want to tell you very clearly tonight, I don't know where the line is, but from seat to seat there's a line, there is a dividing line, and perhaps it's dividing families. And on the one side there are those that are in Christ, on the other there are those that are against Christ. My friend, you're either for them or against them. You're either in Christ or without him. You're either on your way to heaven or your way to hell. For no man can serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. You can't straddle both sides of the fence. Two opinions. And friend, that was exactly the situation that Elijah faced. Here was the crowd. On the one hand, they knew what was right. They knew what God had done. They knew that God was living. Here was the God of Baal, friend. Here was Balaam, the God of the wicked Jezebel. But my, it was a popular road, wasn't it? It was a way that people wanted to follow. You see, there was no cost in following him. You can live for the devil. You can go with the devil. You can go all the places of the world. There is no cost in following the devil. But you see, when you're in Christ, you can't go. And you can't be that other person. Listen, for to be in Christ, friend, you've got to live Christ. You become that new creature and the old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Then let me tell you this. You're either for him or against him. You've made your choice. And so we find here that there is a distinction that is revealed. Secondly, there's a danger that's recalled. Because look at that passage once again over there in 1 Kings chapter 18. And listen to the question. It says, how long have ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? Now what does that mean? What does it mean to halt? Some people say, well, that really means to stop and to think things over. Friend, that's not the meaning of it here at all. How long halt you between two opinions? It means they were wavering between two opinions. They were being swayed between two positions, two attitudes, two convictions, two thoughts. It means to wriggle, it means to limp between two opinions. In other words, they weren't willing to make up their minds. On the one hand, they were swaying this way. We will follow Jehovah. On the other way, listen, there was a pull of Balaam. We will follow Baal. And they were playing both sides of the street. You see, on the one hand, to be honest, they wanted to avoid breaking with the past. You see, Jehovah was their father's God. And they didn't want to openly declare themselves against their father's God because, you see, the people of Israel were a very religious people. And they liked to hold on to their religion, of course. They didn't really care whether it was following it sincerely from the depths of their heart. But might they just like to hold on to it. That's why people today won't separate from apostasy and take a stand for God. You see, friend, they're wanting to, they want to hold on to their father's religion. I owe a loyalty to my father's religion. There's people, even God's people today, and they're sitting in churches that preach no gospel. But you see, my father sat in that church before them. That window that's in the Lord's house, that was put in by my father's. Let me tell you, my friend, if their fathers were about, they'd put the window out. Because they're not preaching the gospel anymore. And the sad thing is this, there are places what once used to stand for God and the light of the gospel once shone, but the sad reality is this, the light has gone out. But you see, people, they don't want to break with the past. They don't want to openly reject the worship of Israel's God. But on the other hand, they love their new rituals. They love their new religion. And friends, sadly, it is sad to say there are so many people just like that today. And they're halting between two opinions. Let me tell you, friends. Stop fooling yourself. It's not about time you took a stand for something. Is it not about time that you stood up and really were something? My, you're hopping around like a bird. From this place to the next place to the next place. If the Lord be God, follow him. If the Lord be God, follow him. That's what Elijah said. Be a man and stand up.
Instead of coward and fall down. They were halting between two opinions. Read in the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Here was the challenge. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Yes, friend, take that stand for God. Who is on the Lord's side? Whoever's on the Lord's side, let him take a stand for God. Paul did. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I'm not ashamed of real power. He was living in a day when Rome had great power. But he knew that Rome's power would falter one day and lie in the dust. But praise God, there was a greater power than Rome's power. It's the power of God unto salvation. And let me tell you this, my friend. Rome may convert men, but I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ changes men and makes them new creatures. And the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Yes. Here's a danger of call. They're halting. Is that not true in people sitting in this church tonight? Some nights you come into the meetings, friend, and listen, you're swayed this way. You know, I need to get right with God, and you're just almost there. And then, of course, you go back out into the world and go to the devil's quarters, and you're just swayed back the other road again. And you're just halting. You're just swaying. There you are, dangling. The devil's got you dangling. You're going from side to side, let me tell you this, until one day you're slipping to hell. And you no longer dangle again, friend. You'll be lost. Eternally lost. Played the devil's fool. Dangled on the devil's string. Until your soul's lost. The danger of call, halting between two opinions. Come on, it's about time you took a stand, friend. It's time you became a man instead of a mouse. You took a stand for God, for you know it's true. You know He is true. And you know what you need to do. You need to trust the redeeming blood of Jesus. If you're ever getting to heaven, thou shalt have no other gods before me, says God. Dear unsaved person, let me say this tonight. You see, you're swaying, halting between two opinions. It's an offense to God. You're offending God. Do you not think it's a serious thing to come to God's house and offend the God who gave you breath? Not only the God who gave you breath, the God who gave you life. The same God has the right not only to give, but the right to take away. And there's the danger recalled. Halting. Wavering. Which way will it go? And you sway from this side to that side. Nearly in. Altogether out. Until you're lost. Friend, I see something else here. I see the delay reprimanded. Notice what it says here. It says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Notice the question here. It says, how long? How long are you going to halt between the two opinions? How long do you think, friend, you're going to keep dangling there? How long are you going to keep wavering there? Let me tell you, for 3.5 years, not a drop of water, not a drop of rain had fallen on the land of Israel at the command of God. Their cattle were starving. Their children were dying. Their fields were parched. Their meadows were covered in dust. And yet, they wouldn't make up their mind. They just dangled there. What the prophet of God said is this. He says, listen, how long do you think you're going to go that way? How long are you going to keep it that way? What more has God to say to you? What more has God to say to you? What more has God to do?
Are you waiting for God to take somebody else out in a coffin? Is that what you're waiting on?
As long as it's somebody else, mind you. Because if God takes you out in the coffin, let me tell you, you're in hell. You waiting on God to show His power by removing somebody else? Are you waiting for some other young fellow to go down the road, my friend, and go out into eternity? You see, my friend, it's happening all the time. Are you waiting for God to do it with somebody up in that gallery? Is that what you're waiting on, friend? For God to take a person beside you? They drop into hell and you still get an opportunity? The way you're playing? Oh, friend, don't play with God. You're talking about the Almighty God. You're talking about the Sovereign God of Heaven, friend. And yet, although their cattle were starving, and although their children were dying, although the land was parched around them, and for 3.5 years, friend, a drop of rain didn't fall, yet they wouldn't bend. They just wait from side to side. Some of you are going to halt until you're gray. Some of you are going to wait, friend. Are the years that God has given you not long enough? Some of you young people say, preacher, just wait until I sow my wild oats. Let me have the pleasures of the world and then I'll call on God. Then let me tell you, don't work that way. Know your heart and grow hard. And a heart that once was melted by the working of the Spirit of God can grow cold. You can't just tell God, you go your way until I'm ready. You march off until I'm ready. You march off until I sow the wild oats of life. You march off until I have the pleasures of the world. You march off until I get all the world that I can possibly take. And then, God, whenever I can't take, whenever I'm old and decrepit, and God, when I'm hardly fit to move, and when I'm hardly fit to think, when I haven't time to give to you, God, be there. Just be there. And the prophet of God said to the people that day, listen, how long is it going to be? How long is it going to take before you stop halting between two opinions? Tell me, friend, be honest. How many more sermons will need to take? How many harvests do you really want? How many more years do you think that God should give you? How many really do you think that God should really give you, that He owes it to you? God, you give me those years because I really need them. Of course, to live for Satan. To live for the devil. To live in sin. But God, you give me those years, let me enjoy my sin. How many more warnings, friend? How many more Sundays will pass? How many more sicknesses? How many more deaths? How many more coffins? How many more graves? Let me tell you, friend, the sands falling on the glass and soon will be empty. And time's flying, and death's coming, and the judge is at the door. The delay reprimanded. How long halt you? How long is it going to take before you stop halting between two opinions?
Do you notice someone here?
Look at verse 21.
Do you notice what it says there, the deadly response there?
You say, well, how do the people respond to it? What do the people do? Look at verse 21. And the people answered him. Not a word. Not a word. Surely such a challenge, friend, demanded some response.
But here's a people, and it seems as if, friend, they're inoculated by the devil. And they're totally oblivious to the serious nature of the challenge. It seems as if they don't care. And it says this. They answered him not a word. And I must be honest, friend. I preached to you for many years, some of you. And be honest, it seems to be for some that you don't really care. You don't care if this was your last week. Or say, preaching, I don't go that far. Well, friend, if you did, if you really thought it was your last week, wouldn't you get right with God?
How many people has it been, friend, that it took the doctor to say to them, I'm sorry, you have cancer, before the thought of eternal things? How many times, friend, have men and women heard the word of God faithfully proclaimed to them, but they've gone on and on and on, promising themselves another day, another opportunity, another time, another meeting, another mission, another harvest, another year?
And yet all it took was one call from the doctor to say, I'm sorry. You haven't another week. And the curtains were pulled down for him. The shutters have slipped down.
And the fallen time, and you've been ushered into God's eternity.
And the people answered him. Not a word. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have to speak. If you're not with me, says Jesus, you're against me. You either love me or hate me. Because no man can serve two masters. Here's the last thought. The demonstrated reproof. You see, whenever that happened, friend, Elijah said, only one thing.
The fire. The fire. Let there be fire.
And let me say this tonight.
The fire wasn't what the people wanted. You know what they wanted?
Rain. They didn't want fire. They wanted rain. But God didn't send them rain. Why did God not send them rain? Why was the challenge? Listen, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Why? Because let me tell you, my friend, if God had sent them rain, it would have been looked upon as the common course of providence. This had happened. Well, we were expecting. You know, it has to come sometime. 3.5 years. It can't always keep without the rain. You know, God is such a providential God, friend, and such a loving God. He maketh the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust.
or rain to fall on the unjust as well as the just. Has God not blessed you this past week, friend? Has He not allowed the rain to fall on your life? Has He not allowed the providential acts of mercy and love to be given to you? Didn't He give you breath? Didn't He give you a measure of health, strength? And God be good to you. Let me ask you a question. What have you done in return? What did you give to God this past week in return?
The answer is nothing. Not one thing.
And God says it's not rain I'm sending. But before the blessing of the rain can come, the fire must fall. The fire must fall. You know, it was very appropriate that the challenge was fired. Do you know why? Do you know who Baal was? Baal was considered the fire god. He was the fire god. And really, what God was doing, He was laughing at the gods of these men. Said, Elijah, throw out the challenge. Here's the fire god. Baal's the fire god. Well, what's the natural thing for him to send? Fire. Just let's put him to the test. And what God was really showing these people, friend, was this. That the God they worshipped was false. That the idols they worshipped would bring no hope, would bring no help. For all their hope and help was futile. Let there be fire. And you see, the people believed that Baal was a fire god. And naturally, when they heard that, well, let there be fire. Yes! And everybody said, let it be so! Because their hope was that Baal would send the fire. He was a fire god, so he would send the fire. Let me tell you, friend, God was laughing. Because Baal was a false god and could not answer by fire. Tonight in closing, let me say this. Either the fire of the Spirit will move in mercy in your heart and melt you and break you and bring you in conversion to Christ. Or the fire of God's judgment will fall upon you. And God will break you. And God will bend you. And God will burn you. Look what it says in verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Oh, Baal sent no fire. See what you're trusting in tonight? It'll not satisfy. You see the day of testing, friend? It'll fail. See the day when your back's against the wall and the darkness gathers around you, friend, and your voice starts to quiver in the throes of death and the rattle comes into your throat and the dew comes on your brow. You're about to be called out into eternity. Let me tell you, what you're relying on will fail. Friends, will they help you? Money, will it save you? The pub, will it satisfy you? Will you win the bet? No, friend, don't be a fool. You know as well as I do. Not one of them will do you good. Not one of them's worth that. When you need it most. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Here's the last verse, 39. And when all the people saw it,
they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He's the God." Wasn't God merciful to them, friend? Wasn't God merciful that He let the fire fall upon the altar, upon the sacrifice, instead of on them? And friend, that's the very heart of the gospel. That God in mercy and God in grace let the fire fall upon His Son, our sacrifice for sin. And praise God, the fire did not consume the sacrifice, but our Savior consumed the fire. And you and I can be saved. Will you come to Him? Here's the verse again. And Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God,